All right, good afternoon, everybody. This is the Thursday, July 2nd, 2020 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Carla, could you please call the roll?
Hardesty?
Here.
Udaly?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. Under Portland City Code and state law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the council are attending remotely by phone, and the city has made several avenues available for the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. The public was able to provide written testimony to council by emailing the council clerk. The council is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and promote physical distancing. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communications. Thank you all for your patience, your flexibility, and your continued understanding as we manage through this difficult situation to conduct the city's business. We will hear the rules of order and decorum from legal counsel.
Good afternoon, Mayor. Because there is no testimony today, we can dispense with that and just allow Carla to read the item.
Thank you. Carla, why don't you read our one item for this afternoon, please?
Item 520, readopt a remanded ordinance for the Central City 2035 plan and amend the comprehensive plan map, transportation system plan, Willamette Greenway plan, scenic resources protection plan, and zoning map. Authorize adoption of administrative rules and repeal and replace prior Central City plans and documents.
Thank you, Carla. As a reminder, City Council, well, we're here today to readopt the Central City 2035 plan, which is a 20-year plan for the city's urban core. As a reminder, City Council adopted the Central City 2035 plan back in June of 2018, voting in support of Ordinance 189000. After extensive public engagement, cross-bureau coordination, and staff analysis. The June 2018 decision was appealed to the Land Use Board of Appeals, otherwise known as LUBA, and subsequently to the State Court of Appeals. LUBA found and the Court of Appeals agreed that the findings related to one decision, changes to the allowed heights in the new Chinatown, Japantown Historic District, were not adequate to show compliance with one comprehensive plan policy. LUBA and the Court of Appeals remanded the issue back to the city to adopt additional findings. This plan was in place and in use by developers from July 7th, 2018 to March 16th, 2020. The proposal before us is to readopt the Central City 2035 plan as originally approved in Ordinance 189000 with expanded findings that fully remedy the issues identified by LUBA. We held a public hearing on May 28th, and we left the record open for written testimony until June 4th. City Council members have reviewed the written testimony. Today, City Council will consider that testimony and make a recommendation for moving forward so that the code can go back into effect and eliminate that uncertainty for property owners. Joe, I'll now turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. Keelan, you want to cue up the slides, please? Thank you. Thank you again, Mayor. For the record, I'm Joe Zender, with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm here with a large number of the Central City team, in case the City Council has action. They're panelists, so we can cue them up to answer those questions. Next, Keelan, please. The mayor just ran through the timeline of past actions on the Central City 2035 plan. As he said, today is a work session to consider testimony you received and to move forward to readoption. And we've tentatively scheduled time next week on the 8th for second reader. If approved, then the readopted Central City 2035 plan would go into effect on August 10th, 2020. Next slide, please. So our discussions recently have been focused on the narrow issue of the remand. But before we dive back into that testimony, I think it would be helpful to remind ourselves of some of the other benefits in the Central City 2035 plan. I'm not going to do this quickly, just mentioning eight highlights from the plan. First, the Central City is more than a neighborhood. It's an asset, economic and civic and social and educational and cultural, that serves the entire city and region. One of its roles, though, also is to be the place where Portland can grow most compactly and in ways that support our climate objectives. And getting 30% of our growth on 3% of our land supply, which is the Central City, takes pressure off of other parts of the city. So it has a ripple impact on the stability and price pressures throughout the other neighborhoods. Secondly, the second accomplishment is really related to the first. Central City 2035 sets up the housing that the city needs to grow, and through inclusionary housing, taps that private investment to help pay for needed affordable housing. Third, about one third of the Portland's jobs are located in the Central City, and the action in Central City 2035 are forecast to maintain this share. The policies also call on us to give better access to these jobs to community of color. Also, it's not just the number of jobs, but it's the mix of jobs that's important for this benefit. Recently, a lot of growth has been in high-wage jobs, but especially in the Central East Side, our Central City continues to support middle-wage job supply in an expanding range of occupations. And maintaining this mix, protecting that those industrial jobs, is part of slowing the city's growing income divide. Fourth, in the heart of the Central City is one of our greatest natural features, the Willamette River. In Central City 2035 increases protection of this natural resource while promoting public use of the river, while protecting views, increasing tree canopy. Next slide, Keelan, please. Fifth, the zoning code in Central City 2035 has taken our largest step yet in pursuing public benefits as a product of new development. We re-engineered, cut significantly, and focused our bonus and transfer system on producing affordable housing and seismically improving historic resources. Also, Prosper Portland is taking the city's equitable development approach to whole new levels through the Broadway Corridor Plan, which the zoning in Central City 2035 helped enable. Sixth, Central City 2035 has gone farther in adding energy efficiency and other green building requirements and incentives to the zoning code than we ever have before. Seventh, while Central City 2035 anticipated improvements to the I-5 in the Rose Quarter, it also made clear that the expectation for new development in the area and the project was expected to address the harm from past racist planning and development decisions, including the displacement of the Black community from Lower Albina. So the turn of events lately in the finding and in the city's position and Albina Vision's positions are consistent with this goal that City Council already had, or this policy City Council already had put in Central City 2035. And finally, I wanted to mention the Green Loop, which is a reminder that we can and we need to continue to make the Central City more pedestrian-friendly, connected, and welcoming to all Portlanders. Green Loop is going to add the next generation of places and reasons for all of Portland to come in and enjoy, use, and benefit from their Central City. Next slide, Keelan, please. So at May 28th public hearing on the readoption of the Central City Plan, City Council heard testimony from 30 people and reviewed the written testimony from 147 more before the record closed on June 4th. Next slide, please. In the interim period, we provided your offices with a detailed summary of the testimony. This slide lists the most frequently raised topics, as you can see here. Most of the testimony, though, even with all these topics, was focused on the remand issue related to Heights and New Chinatown and Japantown. While controversy remains on this issue, you heard from community and other stakeholders how the approach in Central City 2035 follows through on the balancing act that the neighborhood has been after for a long time. And the balancing act includes protecting the district's historic and cultural significance, welcoming and preserving the district's critical social service providers, and attracting new market rate development and investment to add to the vitality and sort of the viability of the district. Next slide, please. So today, we made space for City Council to deliberate on the testimony you heard and to make a decision about how to move forward on Central City 2035. This slide summarizes the steps that you could take today that would lead us to second reading for the ordinance next week. And with that, my presentation is concluded. I'm here for questions, and I'll turn it back to the mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Colleagues, any questions or comments at this particular juncture?
I just want to say that was a very impressive, brief, and informative presentation. Thank you, Joe.
Commissioner Fritz.
I have to state that I previously declared that I own property in the Central City District, and I now declare that I no longer own property in the Central City District, so I won't need to say that again. And second of all, could the city attorney please send post the findings, the full findings? Our very efficient council clerk has already put next week's agenda up on the website, so I can't find the findings. So if you could send those to me, that'd be really helpful. Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz, this is Lindley Reese. I also had the same problem as you did, so I don't have the most up-to-date findings, so I'm wondering if Keelan or Carla could provide those, please.
Yes, I'll send them.
Very good. Any further
questions? Thank you.
All right, then I move to amend the ordinance by substituting dated Exhibit A, findings of fact report as amended, dated June 2020 for the Exhibit A that was originally filed, dated May 20th, 2020. Do I have a second?
Second.
I'm sorry, who is that? Was that Commissioner Hardesty?
Yes, it was.
Thank you. Commissioner Hardesty seconds. Any further discussion? Carla, please call the roll.
Hardesty.
I just want to take a moment to really appreciate the incredible work, the incredible community engagement around the Central City Plan, and just the remarkable dialogue that was created. I am very grateful to the report that we all received earlier this year around just how housing policy either makes housing available or not. And I am just thrilled that we are on the path to creating more housing at every income level in the Central City so that it is accessible and welcoming to all Portlanders. I just can't say enough about the incredible work that's been done. I think this has been a model of engaging council offices early and often and receiving pushback both from the community as well as from other stakeholders. And I am convinced that this is absolutely the right direction, the right time, and we need to do this now. So I am very happy to vote.
You Daly.
Well, thank you, Joe, for the recap. I'm going to save my comments for the second reading and vote aye.
So just to clarify, this is the vote on the revised findings?
Yes, that's correct, Commissioner. Sorry, I just got the text. That is correct. So this is the substitute of Exhibit A.
Okay, thank you. So I do support almost all the findings. I respectfully disagree with the city attorney's recommendation to the city council on the height increase on block 33 in the new Chinatown, Japantown Historic District. The findings note that this block is the only one proposed for increased height in any historic district in the plan area, and that elsewhere multiple lots have had heights reduced. The plan was remanded from the Land Use Board of Appeals because the City Council failed to justify this increase. And it's disappointing that instead of addressing the underlying problem of inappropriate height, no effort was made to compromise on the lot, which Commissioner Fish and I strongly disagreed with the outcome of the property owner's influence. The main rationale for allocating more height on this lot is that it is now a surface parking lot that does not contribute to the vitality of the district. Previous requests by the owner to previous mayors for increased height were not granted, in part because of the advocacy of Art DeMuro and his success in restoring the White Stag building at 100 feet. There is no evidence to prove that an economically viable project could not be built with a 100-foot or 125-foot height limit on this lot in this historic district. The increase is supported largely by other property owners with vested interest in more height on their property, including Lansu Chinese Garden. The Lansu evidence declared the actual or potential conflict of interest. Some individual property owners who testified did this and others did not. The findings rely heavily on expert evidence from John M. Tess, who is an advocate for private developers. There is less discussion in the findings of the expert advice provided by Kristen Miner, the chair of the Historic Landmarks Commission. The photographs she submitted to the record clearly show that although the block length is 200 by 200, original development of the district was largely on 50 by 50 quarter blocks. Thus, to get blocky development, the height should be 50 feet. The findings claim that there is no evidence in the record that the 160-foot Pacific Tower is out of place in the district, whereas in fact the council heard testimony to the contrary. Even if the Pacific Tower is not out of place, there is no evidence that a building 40 foot higher would fit in the historical context of the district. And I'll put into the record a summary of the testimony that we heard that contradicted this. The findings note that bonus height is not allocated in Central City Plan in historic district. The one exception, Block 33. The increase in both height and FAR adds approximately 120,000 square feet of additional development potential on this lot. This is an unreasonable reward for having refused to develop a surface parking lot for decades. Apart from that, I think the rest of the Central City Plan is absolutely fantastic, and thank you very much to all the staff. So, no.
Wheeler.
Too late to take it back. You only get one vote. Just kidding. I will also withhold my comments until the final reading. I will vote aye. The amendment passes. I would also therefore like to move to amend the effective date in section 2 by changing, quote, in 30 days, unquote, to, quote, on and after August 10th, 2020, unquote. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Commissioner Hardesty. Any discussion on the time frame?
Why?
Why don't you give us the primer on the requirement to change the time frame?
I'll step in. This is Lindley Reese, City Attorney.
Lindley, I'm sorry. I guess that probably was more of a legal thing. I should have.
No, it's fine. I guess I'm as good as any to do it. By having it on Wednesday, July 8th, which is when it's set for the final reading, apparently we would end up with 30 days on a Friday. That's from an implementation perspective challenging, I think, given furloughs. So the preference is to have it on a Monday. So that's why it is being moved to August 10th.
That is an excellent explanation. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindley. I appreciate that. Any further discussion? Carla, please call the roll on the amendment.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment passes. Colleagues, this amended ordinance passes to a second reading on July 8th at 9:30 a.m. Is that date correct?
Yes, Mayor, that's the correct date.
So second reading on July 8th at 9:30 a.m. Thank you. Do we need anything else, Lindley?
No, that covers it, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, that completes today's session. Thank you, everybody. We are adjourned.
Yeah.